This morning I'm finishing my short series on the powerful book of Colossians, found all about halfway through the New Testament. And this morning I'm finishing by focusing on three great verses from Colossians 3. I hope you brought your Bibles today. If you don't have one, we'd be glad for you to borrow one. Hey, we'd be glad for you to have one that's in the treasure chest here in the front of the worship center. The book of Colossians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, there it is. Chapter 3 is right after chapter 2. And this morning I want us to focus, beginning in verse 15, with this thought. This thought that I'm wrestling with. This thought that I'm implementing in my life in the name of Jesus Christ. That you can, get this, praise your way to a place of personal peace. Praise your way to a place of personal peace. Now, here's the truth. For every person walking the face of the earth, the soul is a battleground. The soul is an arena for conflict. We are constantly facing the choices between right and wrong. We are constantly facing the reality of the old nature that resides in us and the call of a new nature in Jesus Christ. And if you're a believer, that conflict is magnified. Because suddenly there is awakened in you through faith in Jesus, brought about through the Holy Spirit, a new awareness that life is more than just about me. My life has consequences. My life makes a difference with others. We become suddenly under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God that we have issues. I've got issues. You've got issues. All God's children got issues. The question is not whether you have issues, is do you know what those issues are? And are you at a place of surrendering those issues to the redeeming Lord, that He might make peace in your heart? What are some of the conflicts of the soul that I'm talking about? Maybe you know something of these kinds of conflicts in you. The conflict between passion and love. Suddenly, as a believer, sex has a different place in the life of a believer. It's not taking to get your needs filled. It's giving to invest in someone through the covenant of marriage, as God has wired us to invest. Do you know something of that sexual tension in your life? Do you know something of the tension between fear and hope? Living every day with the glass half empty or with the glass half full, it makes a difference. Do you know the difference between jealousy and trust? Being able to fully trust another person. Do you know the conflict between cynicism and believing the best in someone else? Do you know the difference between indifference and genuine concern for another person? Do you know the conflict between distrust and truly being able to have faith? I understand those conflicts in my soul. And the farther I get in my journey with Jesus Christ, the more pronounced they become. So as believers, how do we deal with the residue of the old life? The control issues of the old life and the liberation that Jesus Christ promises us? I have found some very helpful insight in Colossians 3. And I want to look at three verses. And what I want you to notice in these three verses is how St. Paul connects peace, the peace of Jesus Christ, with, get this, thanksgiving. How he connects peace with giving thanks. Peace with offering a word of gratitude. The words will appear on the screen, but I really hope you've got your own Bible so you can make notes in the margin of your Bible. St. Paul says, I'm going to stop right there. St. Paul begins this discussion by saying, you've got a choice. You can either engage your faith or remain in neutral. It's a choice of faith. Let what? The peace of Christ rule. in your hearts. Now, I really like the Greek word for rule there. That doesn't seem to make much difference to us, but Paul uses athletic language a lot in his writings because he grew up experiencing the Grecian Games. The original Olympics were taking place in the time that Paul was living and writing and ministering. This word rule is a word that you'd be familiar with if you've ever played baseball. What Paul is literally saying is, let the peace of God umpire your heart. Make the call. When stuff is being thrown at you, a knuckleball, a curveball, a slider, as stuff is being thrown at you, let the word of Christ interpret how you respond. Let the word of Christ be the ultimate arbiter as you're facing the challenges of life. Let the word of Christ give you His peace in the midst of your challenges. St. Paul says in another place, 1 Thessalonians 5, that we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the grammar is clear. Paul does not say give thanks for all circumstances. There are things I could never, ever, ever give thanks for. A young woman having her virginity stolen from her at the hands of a rapist. I could never give thanks for that. Three women locked up in the basement of a guy's house in Columbus, Ohio for 15 years. I could never give thanks for that. A man or a woman who suffers physical, mental, or spiritual abuse from his or her spouse. I could never give thanks for that. But St. Paul says, in the midst of the most challenging circumstances of life, it is possible to find peace when we learn how to give thanks inside of all circumstances. He says, let the peace of Christ umpire your heart, umpire your response, umpire your perspective. Since as members of one body you were called to peace. And then notice how he links the peace of Christ with giving thanks. He says simply, and be thankful. But here's the lesson that I'm learning in my life, and I would encourage you to learn, is how giving thanks works peace in the midst of all of our challenging circumstances. Now hear me. Giving thanks may not immediately, necessarily, ever change our circumstances. But when we give thanks, God gives us the supernatural ability to learn from, or persevere through, or grow because of what we're experiencing. Are you following me? Giving thanks doesn't necessarily change your circumstances. Giving thanks changes you and changes me. And when our hearts, our perspective, our passions change, it changes everything about our lives. But here in verse 16, Paul is very specific about what he means when he says, and be thankful. For what? How? Verse 16. Let, again, it's a choice. Again, it's an option. Again, here's an offer God gives. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Your translation may say, let the word of Christ. Some translations say to the word of the Lord, the word of God. Clearly what is in mind, in Paul's mind, is laying claim of God's promises and using God's promises as your source of peace. Here's what I've learned to believe. God loves it when you remind Him of what He's already said. He kind of perks up. It's like on the very rare occasion any of you say, I like what you said in the service this morning. On the very rare occasion I hear that. God loves it. God loves it when you remind Him of what He has already said and you live into it. Let the message of Christ, the Word of God, dwell among you richly and teach and admonish, encourage one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God, how? What? With what? Gratitude in your heart. As a young Christian, I was encouraged to make a very valuable purchase. It's so valuable. I keep this book with me in my briefcase, and I left it at home this morning. I'm a little embarrassed to say that, and when I realized that I didn't have time to go home and get it. It is a book you can buy at any Christian bookstore. It's one of my favorite spiritual reference books, and it's simply entitled, God's Precious Promises. Now, the title you may find may not say precious. Guys don't really like to have books that say precious on the front of them. But a book of Bible promises, taking all kinds of issues and emotions that you and I have, and listing under each heading verses from God's Word that speak to those issues. If you feel afraid, here are promises from God. You feel guilty, here are promises from God. You feel like your heart is breaking, here are promises from God. You feel like you're judging yourself, here are promises from God. You feel like you're caught in the grip of sin and you cannot break free on your own, here are the promises of God. Here's what I believe Paul is saying to us today. The peace of God can come in the midst of your circumstances. God can change your perspective. God can renew your strength. God can give you a fresh vision for whatever you are facing when you let the message of Christ dwell richly in you and sing to God with gratitude what God has already promised you. Okay, so here's some examples. So somebody's been really ugly and mean to you. I mean, they've taken advantage of you. They have slandered you. They have hurt you like you cannot believe. It has seized your soul. It's right in front of you. It's caused you to hurt beyond hurt. And all you can do is lie awake at night and regret what has happened or start to formulate how you're going to get even. I mean, you can let the residue of the old life, you know, do unto others before they do it unto you. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, the old way of revenge. You can let the old way speak into your heart and guide you, or you can implement and enact the Word of God. One of my very favorite verses, Genesis 50:20. If you have a pen, write it down. Genesis 50:20. Right at the end of the book of Genesis, what men and women intend for evil, you, God, intend for good. Now, that'll change your perspective. Speak to God what God has already said in the midst of your most challenging heartbreak and hurt, and say, Lord, I believe that what He intended for evil in my life, and it is evil, and it hurts my heart, God, I believe you will use for good. Begin to believe God's promise that even in the most horrible of circumstances, God is up to something good. So many of us love the 23rd Psalm. And yes, we've misapplied the 23rd Psalm somewhat. The fourth verse, which is the heart of the 23rd Psalm, says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm still walking through the valley. My circumstance hadn't changed. But I will not fear. Why? The most often repeated promise in the Bible. For you are with me. And the implements of your rod and your staff are there to comfort and protect me. We tend to think of this as physical death. We quote it at funerals. And I love it. But the real meaning of that Hebrew word is deep darkness. The image is being on the run and hiding out in the place of death. Hiding out in a cemetery. Hiding out where bones are rotting and flesh is moldering. You ever felt like that? On the run, hiding, someone's after you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you are with me. I don't know what circumstance is casting a shadow in your life. What is it? And you're afraid. And you feel alone. And you're letting that aloneness and that afraidness speak into you negativity. Remind God what He said. Yes, Lord, though I am walking right now through the valley of the shadow of a relationship breakup, a rape, a job loss, being taken advantage of, the loss of a child. Yes, though I'm walking through the valley of this shadow, I will fear no evil. My circumstance may not change, but You are with me. And Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I have as a life verse, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not hurt you, to give you a good future with hope." Where do you feel the clouds are getting you right now? You can sink into depression. It's the thing to do. The natural person in you wants to cover your head with your covers and not ever come out again. I understand that. You and I can face that reality or say, God, I still believe You know the plans You have for me. I can't see it, but that's okay because You can see it. I don't know what my future is going to be like, but I can rest in peace for the moment knowing that my life is in Your hands. I love Romans 8:28. We believe that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. But what happens if the things that are coming at us are of our own doing? What if it's our own pride? What if it's our own passions that have gotten out of control? But what if we really are our own worst enemy? Where do we speak in the midst of that? Isaiah 43. Though you walk through deep waters, you're not going to be overcome. You're not going to drown. Though you're walking through the fire of your own making, you will not be consumed. I only desire the dross to remove from you and the gold to refine. All of us are there at some point, aren't we? I have athlete's tongue. It's really gross. Do you know what athlete's tongue is? It comes when you put your foot in your mouth frequently. I have athlete's tongue. And whenever I'm victimized by my athlete's tongue, it just breaks out everywhere. It's just really gross. I say, Lord, thank You for revealing to me yet something else that You can redeem in my life. Thank You, Lord, that You're allowing me to see myself as others see me. And Lord, I want to give You this broken piece because I want You to burn away the dross, the hard coal exterior, and melt and purify the gold that is my life. Maybe you're your own worst enemy at times. And you can say to God, thank You that You promised that this isn't going to overcome me. But You're going to let me burn for a little while. You're going to let me feel this one for a little while. Because, God, I know that You are burning away what does not need to be there in order to bring out the purity that can be in my life. Well, Paul begins by saying, let the peace of Christ rule, umpire you. Give thanks. Let the Word of God dwell richly in you and sing back to God what God has said with gratitude. God, I thank You that You've made this promise. God, I look forward to its fulfillment in my life. God, I can be at peace now, even in the midst of my terrible circumstances, because I know I'm not alone. I know, I believe, that You are up to something good. But I think to really make the point, verse 17 he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What? Giving thanks. I think it's important that he says in word. He said to sing it, and now he's saying to speak it. It's one thing to know the Word of God. It's one thing to accept the Word of God. But it's another thing to speak the Word of God into reality in your life by claiming it for yourself. That's why I'm so excited that Disciple Bible Study registration will open soon, so that you can get even more deeply immersed in this amazing, life-transforming revelation of God. But until you can complete Disciple 1, get a Bible Promise book. Any Christian bookstore. Get it in a modern language. It's just easier than having to deal with the cumbersomeness of the King James Version. King James is cheaper because it's public domain. Get an NIV. Get a New Living Translation. Keep it with your Bible. And whatever impulse you're feeling toward the negative, whatever impulse of the old life is beginning to sap your spiritual strength, find in that promise book where you're struggling and remind God of the promise God has already made and see what He will do. Praise Him, thank Him, acknowledge Him, and see if indeed you cannot praise your way to a place of peace, perfect peace. Again, your circumstances may not change, but you will be changed. And that will make all the difference. I want desperately for the Word of Christ to dwell richly in you. And this morning we gather at the table of Holy Communion that the presence of Christ in the sacrament can dwell richly in us. Interesting that theologically speaking, as we experience the liturgy for Holy Communion, just before I consecrate the elements, that section of the liturgy is called the Great Thanksgiving for the great untapped power you have as a follower of Jesus. Is the power to give thanks and see what God will do. We don't sing revivalistic songs in this service. Kind of wish we did. Occasionally I choose them for the traditional services. But all this week as I've been thinking about this message, I've been thinking of that old 19th century gospel hymn. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Whether you're a member yet of this great church or not, you were invited to the table of the Lord. You're invited to invite Christ to dwell richly in your heart through this sacrament of faith. The words will appear on the screen, and I invite you now to join me as we learn how to give thanks to the Lord, for He really is good. Because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament. As together we say, we do not presume to come to this Your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in Your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that You should receive us, but give Your word and we shall be healed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. From the heart of God through the pen of St. John, if we confess our sins, God who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Among the many words that I know we need to hear, somebody desperately needs to hear a word of forgiveness today. Not because of who you are or what you have done, but because of who He is and what He has already done for us on the cross. And so, my friends, based on the authority of the matchless Word of God and the office I have serving in His church, I declare with confidence, you and I are forgiven people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And because we know that we are forgiven people, we can approach God differently, not cowering and fearing a whipping, not cowering and fearing a pointed finger and a lecture. We come running to Him who is our Abba, Father, to receive His very presence. And so I say again to you with joy, the Lord be with you, be for you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere. Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As the chosen children of God, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered at this holy table today to whosoever would come. You're invited to come as you will by the center aisle. Receive just a dollop of hand sanitizer, since we do share from a common chalice. Come with open hands to receive from the Lord. We never take communion. I can't take a thing from Him. I receive of His incredible grace. Ever so reverently dip it into the chalice. Consume these two tokens of His amazing grace. Then in response to what God is doing in and through you, you will find special offering baskets, different from our church offering, that will fund our Good Samaritan Fund. Last year, you gave an access of $15,000 to be used in direct relief of women and men in Rockdale County who really are hurting. I invite you, in response to what God is doing for you, to enable Him to do for others through this great church. I invite those who are assisting and serving me this morning to join me now. And then you are invited to come to the table of the Lord.